Today on Real Radio.
Why would God give you the power of the Holy Spirit to live a powerful Christian witness and ministry life if you don't intend to do anything with your Christianity? He won't give it.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack continues now in his series on the parables of Jesus. We're looking at the book of Matthew, chapter 25 today, which records a parable that deals with the last days. The parable of the 10 virgins has lots of symbolism, as in the case of many parables. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs now with more in his series on the parable of the 10 virgins.
But when that believer decides to step out and use their Christian life for something, the Holy Spirit will come upon you for power so that it's not you doing it, but it's the Spirit of God doing it. And by the way, when that happens, and you know it's happening in somebody's life because they should be marked by humility, because of all people, they know that what they're doing is not of themselves. When you see people strutting around about their ministry, I turn it off. I'm dead serious. When I hear guys talk about my ministry, I leave. I just walk away from the conversation. I don't want to hear about it. You know, it's theirs. It is their ministry. I don't want to be involved in my ministry. That would be disaster. You want to be involved in his ministry. It makes all the difference in the world. So Acts 1:7, and he said to them, Jesus is speaking, it is not for you to know the times and the seasons which the Father has put into his own authority. Well, why? Because he has 2,000 years of work that needs to be done. But you shall receive, what is it, everybody? Power when the Holy Spirit, what? Comes what? Not in you, upon you, epi. And you shall be, notice the result, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. All by the power of the Holy Spirit. The epi experience, Ephesians 5, verse 17. Ephesians 5, 17. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And do not be drunk with wine. Why can't I drink? I think I can drink. Jesus made wine, didn't he? Why can't I drink? A lot of Christians, oh, I want to drink. They're all up about it. They want to debate people. We want to debate you on this thing. We believe we have the liberty to drink. You know what is so stupid about that? They're so committed to this argument. I wish they were just as much committed to that argument as they are about being filled with the Holy Spirit. They don't talk about being filled with the Holy Spirit. They want to talk about, can a Christian drink? Why waste your money and time? And why risk stumbling people who might see you? And I don't know about you. I don't know, man. Now, I'm fighting both stupidity in my own life and old age. It's tough. Okay? And one teaspoon of alcohol kills about 5,000 dendrites in your brain. And I don't know about some of you, but I need all the dendrites I can get. Okay? So think about that for a minute. Well, Pastor, you're quenching me, man. Don't judge me. Would to God that the church would be pumped up about being filled with the Holy Spirit. So look what Paul says. Don't be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation. It possesses you for a moment, and then you got to go to the bathroom. You sweat it out. Your metabolism eats it up, and it's over. The influence is gone. He says, why waste your time? But look, but rather be filled with the Holy Spirit. Now look at the result of being filled with the Spirit. Speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Christian maturity comes out of being filled with the Holy Spirit. Singing and making a melody in your heart to the Lord. Joy! Budweiser's not going to make you joyful. Giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Thankfulness. We should be the most thankful people in California. You say, wait, did you hear what you said? We live in California, man. It's crazy. We should be the most thankful. Okay? submitting to one another in the fear of the Lord. You cannot submit to one another in the fear of the Lord without the Holy Spirit possessing your life. We've all tried that. It doesn't work. So listen, I've anticipated a couple questions. Number one, why be filled with the Holy Spirit other than for salvation? Answer, don't you want to be effective? Don't you want to be useful to God? Don't you want to see power in your life? Don't you want to see victory? And don't you want to see the fruit of the Spirit at work in your life? That's all good stuff. Christian, that's great stuff. God wants to give you the power to do the impossible, and that impossible is be effective and useful and powerful and victorious and fruitful. Second question, why doesn't God just give it to me if it's so important? Because we're to seek him. We're to be dependent upon him. We're to be humbled before him. And the Holy Spirit will do that. By the way, listen, God is not a sugar daddy or a Santa Claus. He's just not doling stuff out, you know, just to make you happy. God in all of his fullness is waiting for you to come. Doesn't the Bible, didn't he preempt our question when he said, I will be found by you when you have searched for me with all of your heart. Wow. Third thing is, why didn't anyone tell me about this before, but I'm hearing tonight? I don't know. It's in the Bible. It may be that you've come from a church or a denomination that has certain doctrinal strongholds that it will not address or get into regarding the scripture. A lot of people don't teach on the person and work of the Holy Spirit because they're afraid of losing control of people. I know pastors personally, they won't have a time to wait upon God and to seek the Holy Spirit because they're afraid something might get out of hand. Like, you can't trust God? I trust God. I don't trust people. If somebody starts, you know, running around the sanctuary barking, we're going to say, excuse me, time out, sit down, or we'll get the dog catcher and get you out of here. That's not biblical. Stop. But I don't want to keep that from not happening and just shut it all down because somebody might goof off or even with good intentions come from like a hyper-Pentecostal background and just start going off. Why should we curtail the work of the Holy Spirit because somebody is emotionally overcharged? You just deal with it. A pastor should be able to handle that stuff. We need to trust the Lord. Romans chapter 8, verse 13. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if you, by the Spirit, put to death the deeds of the body, you'll live. Or as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. Oh, there's the key. See, you want to have the Holy Spirit's power come upon your life as a Christian because you want to be led by the Spirit. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption by whom you cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. Next verse, Philippians 3:20. For our conversation, that's a great, our citizenship, conversation. The word is community. The word can also be translated, by the way, your politic. Your politic, which is interesting, the way that you think and conduct yourselves in and out of the culture. I'm not talking about political parties. It's not that. Your lifestyle is in heaven, from which we also eagerly wait for the Savior. Do you? Are we? You see, we're to be eagerly waiting. It's the Holy Spirit who will cause us to be eagerly waiting. That is the picture of the oil not running out. You'll be ready. Well, what if I'm sleeping? You'll be ready. Well, what if the announcement, what if I look around the culture and I see what's going on and Jesus could come back at any moment? You'll be ready. You don't have to go to a prophecy conference to get ready. Those things give you a shot in the arm, but it doesn't make you ready. It's the Holy Spirit in your life coming upon you and being useful, being ready. Hebrews 9:28. So Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and listen to this, and unto them that look for him, are you? He shall appear the second time without sin unto salvation. That means he's coming. Sin is not the issue. This is a cool verse, Hebrews 9:28. It means he's coming back for those that are looking, i.e., all Christians with the Spirit of God will be looking. And when he comes, he's going to take them. And oh, by the way, it has nothing to do with sin that was done away at the cross. It has to do with you and me being delivered from this evil age. Amen. That's awesome. It's exciting. So you want to have the Holy Spirit to have and to possess and to be in total control of your life. So, listen. What's the evidence for this? Acts 19, verse 1. Acts 19, verse 1. And it happened that while Apollos was at Corinth, and that Paul, having passed through the upper regions, he came to Ephesus, Turkey. And finding some disciples, he said to them, he's bumped into some Christians in Turkey. Look what he says to them. Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? So they said to him, we've not so much as heard whether there is a Holy Spirit. And he said to them, into what then were you baptized? So they said to him, into John's baptism. So they got wet. They were, right? Baptism of repentance. Then Paul said, John indeed baptized with a baptism of repentance, saying to the people that they should believe on him who would come after him, that is on Christ Jesus. When they heard this, they were baptized in the name, watch, this is so important. They were, these people that Paul was talking to, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. You understand that? They were baptized. They're already believers. They're Christians. They just don't know much. They've only been baptized in water. Paul has them baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Notice this, because they're saved already. And when Paul had laid hands on them, the Holy Spirit came upon them. Epi, the word again. Because they believed, the Spirit of God already dwelt in them. That's why they were baptized in water. Are you with me? You never baptize somebody who's not saved. You'll mess them up forever. You'll mislead them. You give your heart to Christ, you get baptized in water, they come up out of the water, Paul lays his hands on them, they're already Christian, the Spirit of God already lives in them, he lays hands on them and the Spirit of God came upon them. Do you hear this? Do you see this? Verse 6, and they spoke with tongues and prophesied. In that particular case, these people spoke in tongues. It's not necessary, but they did, and it's not always the case in the Bible. Now, the men were about 12 in all. Not a big group, but 12 guys. Acts chapter 10, verse 44. You guys okay?
Yes.
Acts 10, 44. While Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit fell, what? Upon all those who heard the word, and those of the circumcision, that's the Jews who believed, were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out upon the Gentiles also. For they heard them speak with tongues and magnified God. Then Peter answered, can anyone forbid water that these should be baptized who have received the Holy Spirit? Just notice, they're not only born again, the Spirit of God comes upon them, and now they're about to get baptized. And he commanded them to be baptized, that is in water, in the name of the Lord. So what about us tonight? What's the deal with this? How can I make sure that my level of oil will be enough? Listen, this is one of my favorite verses. It's awesome. Luke 11, 9 through 13. Follow this closely, everybody. Jesus is speaking to believers. So I say to you, ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be opened. If a son asks for bread from any father among you, will he give him a stone? Of course not. Or if he asks for a fish, will he give him a serpent instead of a fish? Or if he asks for an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? If you then, being evil, that is just mere humans, know how to give good gifts to your children? Are you ready for this, church? How much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? Final verse of the night. Acts 8:14. Now when the apostles who were at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, that means they got saved, They sent Peter and John to them, who, when they came down, prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Spirit. For as yet he had not fallen upon none of them. They had only been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Then they laid hands on them, and they received the Holy Spirit. The power, listen, church, don't get out of bed tomorrow without asking God to fill you or baptize you afresh or to come upon you, to walk your Christian walk with power. I'm going to tell some of you a secret. You think I'm kidding. It should be no secret. I'm joking. It's right in front of your nose. It's hiding right out in the open. You want to see God's power in your life? Do you really want to see God's power in your life? Do you really want to see God do things with you that you know is impossible for you to do? Then you ask God to fill you afresh with the power of the Holy Spirit. Listen, because you will completely yield to whatever he wants you to do. Hey, listen to me. You can say tonight, I'd like to have that kind of power. For what? I don't know, but I'd just like to have that kind of power. I want to see some power. Then you're, listen, you're no different than someone who's just testing God. Why, listen, why would you would never hand a chainsaw to a four-year-old. Four-year-olds are good, chainsaws are good. But a four-year-old with a chainsaw is not good. You want to know why? They can't handle it. Why would God give you the power of the Holy Spirit to live a powerful Christian witness and ministry life if you don't intend to do anything with your Christianity? He won't give it. Oh, well, why do you say that? Because you're honestly really not knocking, you're not asking, and you're not seeking. Does that make sense?
Yes.
A lot of people today who are Christians, they're going to heaven, but they've never seen the power of God. They've never seen supernatural things happen because they've never yielded to being open to what God wants to do.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a study called The Parable of the Ten Virgins. It's actually a mini-series taken from Matthew chapter 25, The Parable of the Ten Virgins, part of Pastor Jack's collection of studies on the parables of Jesus, which will continue on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. All right, time once again for another Ask Pastor Jack. Ask Pastor Jack is a way of getting answers to your Bible-related questions, and who knows, you might just hear it with the answer right here on Real Radio. Here's today's question.
Yes, hi. Last Sunday, you touched briefly on once saved, always saved, and my daughter, when she was in kindergarten, received Jesus as her Savior and was taught Christianity as she was growing up. At some point in her teenage years, she fell away, and now at 25 has nothing to do with God, even in her marriage. Mm-hmm. So I was wondering, is it really worth teaching children to be born again when they later deny Christ as when they get older?
Yeah, listen, number one is when you look at the statistics that come from the Billy Graham Evangelical Association, who's done extensive research, as you can imagine, on the ministry of evangelism. When they look at over all of the years of some 50 years of ministry, they have this data, and they're able to analyze it. And what do the stats show? The stats show that those who walk with Christ most consistently, or in a way enduringly, we would put it, are those who've accepted Christ at the youngest of ages. Did you know that? The chances of you staying or continuing on with Christ is highly, highly probable. If you accept Christ early on in life. That's significant. So number one, yes, teach. In fact, the Bible commands us to teach the gospel, the word of God, the Bible, to the kids, to our children, from the youngest of ages, both in Old and New Testament. So parents, that's a command. Grandparents, that's a command. Teach the word of God to the youngest of their ages. Second thing is, she gave word to something that is not just unique to her. Others have experienced this as well. We quickly make the mistake of thinking that just because someone, watch my fingers, just because someone received Christ that they were born again. You heard her say that her daughter received Christ, but there was no evidence of a new life and a Christian life after that. It was just word, not action. And so if you were to go, I know back east you can get a ticket on a train, for example. And if you've been back there, you know what I'm talking about. Or maybe some bus tickets. And on the bus ticket, it says in the bus ticket that it's a two-part ticket. It's one ticket, but there's a perforation in the middle. And one side says that it's not good if it's detached. Not good if detached on one side of the ticket. Okay? And on the other side of the ticket, it says that it's not a ticket. It's somehow rendered not a ticket, again, if separated. Together, it's a ticket. So you would take that ticket and you would go one way and the conductor would tear off one side and you had now the return ticket. But the return ticket is no good until the conductor tears off the other side. Are you with me, everybody? You've got the ticket, bifurcated ticket. You get it torn and you get to come back. What am I saying? I'm saying this. Faith and works is exactly like that ticket. If you say you have one, it's not good. If you say you have the other, it's not good. You've got to have both for them to be good. Faith and works go together. Many people today say, I give my heart to Jesus Christ. I'm saved. But there's no Christianity in their life. What do we know according to what the Bible teaches? Jesus says in Matthew 13 that this is the type of heart that receives the word, sometimes with gladness, sometimes with joy, but in time, persecution or the cares of the world come and choke out the word and there's no fruit in their lives and they go away. These were none other than those who simply believe. Jesus said it clearly. These are they who believe for a while, but they give up. It's clear from the scripture they were never born again. They only believed for a while. It's critical you understand the difference. Believing in Jesus is different than putting your faith in Jesus. You've got to have the ticket, the proper ticket. You can say tonight, I received Christ. Well, listen, the change in your life is going to prove the statement. We need to be very careful, Christian, that we don't, with good intentions, comfort someone who says, I don't know if I'm saved or not. Well, why? Why? Well, I don't have assurance of salvation. The Bible clearly teaches you should have assurance of salvation. So why would someone not have assurance of salvation? Far be it from me to contradict that the Holy Spirit may be speaking to that person that they are in fact not saved. But they've hung around enough Christianese to ask the question, I kind of wonder where I'm at with Jesus. I don't have the assurance of salvation. Our question should be to them, have you put your faith in Jesus Christ? Are you trusting him? And then here's what we all need to start doing. Ask that person who's not sure of their salvation. Tell me the gospel, my friend. Tell me the gospel. Let me hear it. And let them tell you the gospel. You'll know if they know the gospel or not. I believe, this is one reporter's opinion, I believe that few true Christians, the number will be few, I believe, who really struggle with doubt and they're tormented because they're kind of balled up in some sort of legalism, but they're Christians. They need assurance. They need to be comforted. The afflicted need some comfort. But sometimes the Holy Spirit is afflicting someone. And he's showing their need for Jesus and that they are in fact very religious but not saved. We better be careful that we don't pat someone on the back and give them a false sense of hope when in fact they don't know Jesus. Does that make sense? We need to be very careful about that.
Okay, that's Pastor Jack on the topic of whether or not one can lose his salvation. Ask Pastor Jack. Email your question to askpastorjack@reallifewithjackhibbs.org. Ask Pastor Jack. @reallifewithjackhibbs.org. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org. reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David Jay. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.